Could we turn to Isaiah chapter 42? Isaiah chapter 42, and I'm reading from verse 1. Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him. He shall bring forth judgment unto the nation. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail, nor be discouraged, till he have set judgment in the earth. And the isles shall wait for his law. He became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. And this one who walked the earth and who could say the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, the Son of Man have not where to lay his head, was altogether for the delight of God. It is our desire, I believe, every Christian desire, to bring delight to God's heart. There is one who was his delight all of his way down here. He says, my elect in whom my soul delighted. And the Father expressed that more than one occasion. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased at his baptism. On the mountain of transfiguration, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased hearing him. And again there in Jerusalem, when it thundered and the people say, an angel speak to him, he said, I have glorified and I will glorify it again. A father testimony concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the Father's delight. There was never a man ever walked this earth that God has found such pleasure in. No, not Abraham, though friend. No, not Job, though friend. And all the others, God could find none. Enoch walked with God, and before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But we are not told that God has found his delight in him, all his delight in him. The Lord just could say, I do always those things that pleases the Father. And God could take pleasure in him. All his way down here, God could fix his eyes upon him without any repulsiveness, without anything that was, because in him was no sin. He did no sin, and he did not have the sin nature, and he could not sin. And every word, every deed, every thought, every act of his was altogether for the Father's pleasure. He bring delight to the Father's heart. And beloved, we are here also for the pleasure of God. And we are to bring delight to God's heart. That's our purpose. And if we're not doing that, then we are not serving our purpose. We are told in Revelation that we are created for his pleasure. We are created for the pleasure of God. And we are to gladden his heart. By who we are, by what we think about, by what we practice, by what the things we do. And in this world, we are here as to really bring that pleasure to God. And there are several ways in which we can do that. If one turn to Jeremiah chapter 9, there's a word there in Jeremiah 9. Verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth to know it me, that I am the Lord, that exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. The things that bring delight to his heart, we can practice these things, and if we practice them, then it bring delight to him. One, delight his heart that we know him and understand him. We have an understanding of God. We have a knowledge of God. It delight his heart to know him, that he is the one who exercises loving kindness. We speak of his loving kindness this afternoon. His hesitation, in fact, one verse tells us that judgment is his strange act. And before he pronounced, he started that strange act, that strange work of his, there was that silent. And we find it is his loving kindness, but his judgment and righteousness, the justice and righteousness in the earth. These are the things that delight the heart of God, and these are the things he expects from us also. What else delight the heart of God? In 1 Samuel's chapter 15. And verse 22. And Samuel saith, hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Here are something more that delights God's heart, and that is obeying his voice, to be obedient to his word. That bring delight to God's heart. And today, we find abundance of light. There are much light around today, but little obedience. We find much rebellion and much reluctance to obey the word of God. And what delight his heart is not to obey in part. Because Saul said, I have obeyed your voice. I see I have killed most of the people, and I have killed most of the animals, and so on. I've done most of what you tell me to do. But I saved these better ones here to offer to you. Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to hearken is better than sacrifice, and to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. What God want is not fat of rams. David understand that very well. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. David understood God. No wonder he's also called a man after God's own heart. And when he had sinned, that terrible sin, that he realized that bringing sacrifice at this point will not satisfy God. What he need to do is to get down before God. And he says, a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, that is what would bring delight to the heart of God. He delighteth not in burnt offering and sacrifices, beloved. obedience to the word of God. This is something we have quoted off more than once here, that God do esteem his word above all his names. He esteem his words above all his names. And when we obey his word, today people trifle with the word of God. And in many places there are those who will not hear the word of God. They are listening to the words of men, and according to their rules and regulation that send down from their church headquarters. And they are not following the scripture, the word of God. But God says, this is what delight me. And we are to have that kind of obedience to God's word without any wavering. What God say is what he means, and that's what he requires of us. In our home life, in our public life, and in the assembly, it is the word of God, and we must obey it. I want to mention something more, you know. In Proverbs 11, Proverbs 11 and verse 1, it said, a false balance is abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. Leviticus 19 tells us the same thing. Leviticus chapter 19. Verse 35, ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in measurement. Just balance, just weight, a just ephod, a just hint shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. The Lord would have justice. Justice, beloved. And maybe we don't have grain and liquid and the rest of it to measure. But what was literal for Israel, we have to balance it in our everyday life, that we see to it that justice is done. Justice is done in all our dealings. And certainly, in the assembly dealing, one of the cry is for justice. God have his right, and what is for man, it is given to man. And so these are some of the things that delight the heart of God. And but the one that is foremost is his beloved son, mine elect. That same humble man, that same lowly man who walk here in sandals silent, a bruised reed he would not even break, a smoking flax he would not quench, he would not out it. It's so easy to out, yet he was so tender as he passed through here. And he is the one who delight the hearts of God, the heart of God, and indeed glorify him and the earth. The Lord bless his word.
Brother, I'd like us to turn to that verse again in the book of Jeremiah. And chapter 9. And verse 23. Thus said the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth in this, glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which execute love, exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. We know that Jeremiah was the prophet of tears and trust. Jeremiah was a prophet that before he commenced his ministry, he was discouraged, and he was discouraged by God. God had said to him, they are not going to listen what you have to say. And Jeremiah himself got so discouraged that Jeremiah decided he wasn't going to preach anymore. But the word of God was in him. It was like fire shut up in his bones that he couldn't stay. When the word of God is resident in the heart of a believer or a person, the word of God will have its way and have its sway with the person. But Jeremiah made it abundantly clear. There are many men, many things men can glory in. There's many things man pride themselves in. And truly, they are men of learning. But Jeremiah puts it all on the level with what God delights in. He says the first thing he brings before us, thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. We know, you know what God says in 1 Corinthians? Where is the wise? Where is the scribes? Where are the disputers of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And we know the wisest man that ever lived. The wisest man that ever lived was Solomon. Solomon was so wise, still Solomon set his heart to no madness. Solomon knew about the hyssop that groweth out of the wall. He says, I build me lakes. I build me orchard. Solomon built houses. Solomon was wise, so wise. And you know, he was so wise that woman took him away, won his heart from the Lord, the wise man. Solomon was so wise. You know, this man had 1,000 women. 1,000. Since I have one, I beg in God to help me to keep the lady happy. But this man have 1,000. Had 1,000. And this man, they just draw his heart away from the Lord. Every one of them wanted their God to serve their God. And Solomon indeed was so rich, saints, a wise man. But yet still God says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. And I tell you this, brethren, we are seeing the infiltration of education and the thoughts of men in the things of God. Indeed, because some men have gone indeed to schools of learning and they have gotten some idea of psychiatry or psychology, they believe they could bring that in the assembly, you know. They believe because they are accountants, they could handle the meeting books. That's not what go. Search ye out indeed, as it were, wise men, indeed faithful men who are able to handle and do deacon work among God's people. So now he says, listen, saints, indeed, where's the wise? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. To the Jew, a stumbling block. To the Greek, foolishness. You still believe that? Eh? An educated people like you still believe this man dying on the cross could save your soul? Yeah? That we believe that years ago, I could understand if people did that. But today, with men putting people on the moon and men learning all the laws of physics, but yet still, you know, beloved saints, in all man wisdom, you know what? Indeed,
determines a design of an airplane is not indeed man's mind, is the law of physics. So men have to adjust their design to the law of physics. So God is saying, in spite of what wise men are, and I tell you, brethren, there are some people who wrap us up, tear us up, throw us out. But when it comes to God's word, all have to step aside. The word of God still remains. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Likewise, he says, neither let the mighty man glory in his strength. Brother Ashton touched on it. Nebuchadnezzar, man, he was a mighty man. Even Samson. Samson was so strong. Samson grabbed a gate, grabbed the bars, and grabbed the post and run up to a hill. He said, oh, what a man. Muscle. Muscle. One guy says, one brother said to me, don't believe Samson had a lot of muscle, you know. Samson had just strength that come up on him from the Lord. Saints, I have to say, I believe Samson had a little bit of muscle. Because I couldn't see somebody skinny like me taking up a post, taking up a gate, taking up a gap, and running up to a mountain and taking it up. Yes, saints, listen here. Samson, as strong as he was, as powerful as he was, a little woman brought him down. A little woman. Samson, if you don't tell me the truth, you really don't love me, Samson. Oh, okay, sweetheart, I'll tell you the secret. And next thing you know, Samson lying down in the woman's lap. Next thing, they took out his eyes. And Samson is grinding in the place of Dagon, arena of Dagon. Why? It's because this man's strength was in himself. His confidence was in himself. Nebuchadnezzar, indeed, oh, is this not great Babylon that I have built? For the honor of my majesty, look at it. Indeed, and the man walking around field, he was some big thing. God says, listen here, thou shalt be driven from men, and you shall eat ox. You shall eat grass as the oxen. Thy nails shall be like eagle feathers. I hear like bird claws. Until you understand and know that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men. Men, we are just men with the breath in our nostrils. And this man believed he was all big. The man was tied out and eaten grass like an oxen. The man became an animal. And after 7 years, wet with the dew, rain, sun dried him. He was wet, dried with the sun, until he lifted up his eyes and realized that the Most High God rules in the kingdom of men and give it to whomsoever he will. God can do as he please, as he pleases. And all of us have to understand this. God is in charge. He runs things. Yeah, he raised up that man in Baghdad. God had him to be there, Saddam, as wicked as he is. God raised up Mr. Blair. God raised up Mr. Bush. And also God raised up Chavez in Jamaica. In Venezuela. Men. And God raised them up. And God is going to bring them down. They are only for time. So also those in Barbados who believe Arthur is staying a long time. They are going just now. Arthur going just now. Yeah. Arthur going. All of them troubling Trinidad with Bandy. You don't know what to do. They're going now to the court to find out if he should be in parliament. Listen, saints, the man is coming, the man of God's delight. God is going to put the government up on his shoulder. So God says, this is the man of strength. This is the man I'm going to glory in. Indeed, you think God is going to lay everything on Solomon or everything on Nebuchadnezzar and things on men in this life? God says, no, I am going to bring him in. And God declared him in the book of Hebrews. He says, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. I am going to bring you in and set you up. I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Oh yes, he will be there. Saints, I tell you, it excites me because I look beyond indeed the mirage of this place and see God's king indeed coming out in pomp and pride. This is the man God delights to honor. Where he is? That's what they're asking. Where he is? Saints, where he is, God have him shut in. But God is going to unveil him before the eyes of men. I'm waiting on that day. So let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, or the man of strength glory in his strength. And not only so, it tells us, and the rich man glory in his riches. I went to a funeral, and a man died. He died. He went to hell, of course. He died. But at the funeral, they were asking how much he left. How much he left. That was the concern. He had some stuff, you see. How much he left? I hear somebody says, you know, he left everything. He left everything. Naked you came into this world. And naked you're going to leave. You're going to leave everything. Leave everything. But we know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. For our sakes, he became poor, that we through his poverty might be made rich. Listen, saints, don't look at me as a pauper, you know. No, I am rich in Christ. We have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. So now, when you look at the riches, the rich man in Luke chapter 12, indeed, he makes up life, you see. You see, when you're so educated, you get stupid at times. This man had lost his mind, because you know what it says when I was growing up, and some people lose their mind, it says they study too much. They study too much. It's no, they don't realize that God is in charge. So what happened? He was a very good entrepreneur. When you see come to business mind, the man was brilliant. I'm going to break down my bonds. I'm going to build greater. And I'll say, you know, where should I bestow my goods? Everyone on Wall Street would say, that man know how to buy low and sell high. He know how to work the stock market. He know how to invest. He know how to maximize his profit. But what he forgot? He forgot in all you're getting, get indeed the Lord Jesus Christ. Indeed, come to the realization, life is not what you have. Life is what you possess. And that's why God said to him, thou fool, this night thy soul is required of thee. Indeed, then who shall these things be? Who you spent all your life accumulating? And that's what a lot of saints. I've seen saints who on fire for God. Fire. I've seen saints indeed who love the Lord. But what happened? The green dollar. Indeed, what happened? Indeed, the pursuit of things in this life. That indeed they went after it and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Many sorrows. I tell you, listen, promising people who indeed you want to sit under the ministry. But what happened? I tell you this. This world is subtle. Very subtle. The first thing they come to say to you, you don't have enough. It's either you're overqualified for the job, or you're underqualified. So now if you're overqualified, you'll have to say, well, I don't mind taking a low pay. This is okay. But if you're underqualified, you have to go back to school. They put you in pressure, you see? In pressure. And all that comes, you neglect divine things. But the rich man, he says, listen here, I don't have no time at this moment for God. No time. And he said to his soul, take it easy now. Why are you crying out? Even in a believer, you could tell when you're slipping. My wife could tell when I'm not reading. My wife could tell me when I'm not really enjoying God. I get grumpy. I snap. And the first thing she says, listen here. Did you really spend time with the Lord this morning? If not, you go and spend time and then come back and talk to me. And it's true. When you see the saints grumpy, when you see the saints complaining, when you see the saints not satisfied, it's not the brethren, it's the person. It's the person. Something is wrong with their soul condition. I've learned this, I've seen this by experience. I know now how to counsel a marriage couple. I didn't go to school for it, but I learned it by on the field. The first thing you zero in on, do you pray together? And if they're honest, they'll say no. That's where the problems start. They don't pray and read together. But this man, indeed, what happened to him? What happened to him? He was neglecting his soul condition. The rich man, don't glory in that sense. I would love to be rich. But if God give me money, I know I'm going to do with it. Yeah. I know what I want to do, and I'm asking God for some. When he give it to me, I know what I'm going to do. I promise the Lord. Say, Lord, I'll do so and so and so. Some men, boy, you first thing you get money, everybody have to know, I go in and buy the best. I'm riding in the best. You think I'm going and drive little that thing outside there? No, sir. I'm going for a Pajero. And not only so, I put lights all around it so everybody see me when I come in. And the horn is not peep peep. The horn is lili di da la la la. And all kind of music. And this is what grip men, because they want to call attention to themselves. And God says, don't glory in this. Saints, it's a difficult. We are living in real, lustful times. And all we can do is keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. So God says, if you are intelligent, please, don't glory in it. Just thank the Lord. He has given you brains and capacity to hold knowledge. If God has given you strength, I tell you, indeed, listen, there are some brothers, I tell you, they could lift up 100 bags of upon a bag of rice on the shoulder and they just walking and flexing their muscles. God didn't give me that. I got to use a forklift or some kind of thing to carry stuff. I accept my limitations. But I thank God, those who God have given strength, that they could use it for him. But there's some who glory in it. I never get sick. You have high blood pressure, I don't get that. Or you got diabetes, I don't have that. I am healthy. I do get sick. And they glory in it. They glory in it. I'll pray for you, brother, but God hasn't given me that. Listen, saints. A brother said to me, what in catch up with you yet? Thank God for it. Because somehow it's coming later on. Glory. What are you glorying in? The apostle Paul said, God forbid that I should glory. Save in the cross of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Where I've seen some beautiful girls, beautiful sisters. Let me don't say girls, beautiful sisters. And I tell you, instead of they carry their beauty for the Lord, they want to impress people with their beauty. They walk different. They dress different. And it says, who they trying to catch? A godly man? Godly people don't look at them stuff. Godly men look for sisters with character. The carnal brothers look for sisters. Aye, poppers. But a woman that feared the Lord, she shall be praised. Beauty is vain. Beauty is vain. And fellas, believe me, some beauty is only skin deep. But Watson used to tell me, ugliness reached to the bone. Ugliness reached to the bone. Listen, saints. The point is this. I'm stressing. Look for someone who loved the Lord. Who could enhance your Christian life. And really, sisters, I tell you, don't settle for second best. I'm begging you. Don't be, when you're doing, you see them, no guys are wrong. Where would we get them from? And where they coming from? And what should we do? Listen, you don't think God know your needs? You don't think God is in charge? You don't think God fully knows all that we stand in need of? But don't settle for second best. Don't settle for second best. Then he just come along and he says, oh, he whispers some kind of, and next thing you're going, no, sir. Indeed, stand up for Christ. Don't glory in things that will not bring honor to your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But God says this is what you should glory in. In verse 24, he says, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understand it. That he understand it. And know it me that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, righteousness in the earth. For in these things do I delight, saith the Lord. Understanding. Do you understand really who the person of the Lord Jesus is? Who he is? God over all, blessed forever. We are complete in him. We had that before. When you think of the Lord Jesus Christ, it seems there's, dear Brother Bob Costin, I'm going to use his words. He often said, Jesus thrills and fills God's heart. He is more than enough the heart and mind to fill. Where should we go? Where should we go? Now, if I lack wisdom, he says, ask of me. Because I give liberally and upbraid it not. The Lord says in the Proverbs, indeed as wisdom is me, I have riches and revenue. He says not only so, strength is with me, it's all found in Christ. And now God says, these are the things which I delight in. Who is this person? Who is Christ? Indeed, some said Jeremiah, some said the prophet, some says John the Baptist. But who do you say I am? Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Indeed, and Jesus said, Simon Peter, indeed flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven. Listen here, if you know Jesus Christ as Son of God, as God over all, blessed forever, it's not because of university, it's not because of mom and dad, it's because of divine persons. Make it known to you. Listen, this realm is not the intelligence of men, it's the revelation of the Son of God by the Spirit of God. Say amen, saints. Amen. Oh yes, he's altogether lovely. Listen, Jesus is the sweetest name I know. That's Watson's line. And every day, he is the same. Do you know Christ? Do you know the work he has done? Most of us have embraced the Bible. But really, when we ponder the work of the Lord Jesus, and we ponder what he's going to come into. You know, my message for the keynote address wasn't the message I brought. I changed the message and the Lord tell me change the message. It's not that. But what I had to speak on was the revelation of Jesus Christ. The revelation of Christ. First, the unveiling of Christ. It means to uncover. They had a bust, you know, one of these statues of the last of the late premier, Bradshaw, a hero, national, number one national hero in St. Kitts. Somebody in Cuba made it, and they had it covered. And they had a big ceremony to unveil the statue. And as they were lifting off the velvet, I tell you, when they took it off, everybody says, it looked just like him. It looked just like him. That's what they said. He had a mustache and the mustache was up in the air. It looked just like him. Listen, saints, when God unveiled the Lord Jesus Christ, and then, indeed, it tells us how he's going to unveil him. He is going to appear a brightness, oh saints. And then he will be manifested. Oh, I trust God tell me to preach that before I leave. But the fact is this. The fact is this, saints. Indeed, that what we want to look at, indeed, what Jesus has done. God, indeed, the universe is going to proclaim. The universe is going to celebrate what Christ has done on Calvary's cross. Yes. And all God is saying to us, we have 3 score and 10 to celebrate it. By reason of strength, you have a little longer so you could praise God about it. But God says 70. 70. Brother Richardson in St. Kitts is 99. 99. I said, Brother Richardson, I take off my hat to you. You're batting better than Lara. You're batting better than even Gail and Shanja Paul and all these fellas. Imagine you had the wicket for 99 and you didn't get bowled out yet. And he was like caught in the slips. I says, brother, I take off my hat to you. And he looked as though he will make the century. He'll make his century. I said to him, brother, I don't know if I want to live so long. My hope is not longevity. My hope is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And since he will come and will not tarry. That's our hope. That's our hope. And he continues, let me finish with this. He tells us about the mercies of God. He says, anoint me that I am he that exercise loving kindness. Saints, in the book of Ephesians, it tells us what God has done for believers according to the good pleasure of his will. It tells us what he has done for us as sinners, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. That's not original with me. That's Mr. Hamilton Smith. That's Hadley gave me that book years ago. And after I read that book, I got every book from Mr. Hamilton Smith. Young men, get it, please. Mr. Hamilton Smith gives you meat. You don't have to take all the bones and, you know, have to bite the bones and take the meat out. Mr. Hamilton Smith gives you meat right away, and then after you build whatever. After reading that, it tells us, when it says his loving kindness, oh God, will pick up a sinner heading for hell. And listen here, you had nothing to do with it. I want to bring it on God's line. It's like a train running on 2 tracks. Indeed, one is God's sovereignty and one is God's man's responsibility. One is the book of Ephesians. The other is the book of Romans. And they are going on together. Indeed, God in his sovereign grace has marked me out before the foundation of the world for blessing. And what can I say? All I could bow and say, oh God, to God be the glory. Great things he has done. Why God chose me? I don't know why, but I'm not going to question. I'm going to praise his name. That's why the brother raised to him. Indeed, praise God for 476. Indeed, he tells us, then we shall be what we shall be, and we shall be where we would be. But in spite of that, we are sons of God like his son. And God says it's a place of dignity, a place of honor, and a place of position. And I ask, but God, can I see indeed some way that answers to my position? God said, yes. Look at my son. You are accepted in him. In that God loving kindness, saints, what God has done for us, time will fail to tell. Romans, my responsibility. But I'm telling you this, all of us have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. He says, I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. Judgment. Listen. Judgment begins at the house of God. And if it begin with us, where will the ungodly and the sinner appear? A lot of believers believe they could get away with stuff with God. I laugh. Laugh. I bring scripture to them. Sometimes they attack the person who loved them most. Because we care. We can see down the road, sometimes when young people heading off, There was a young brother. Well, he frequented the fellowship. And I got a call from the police station. They said, Pastor, I want you to come down here right now. Don't kill me, brethren. Okay, for you saying pastor. That's what they call me. That's what they call me. Say, Pastor, we want you to come down here right now. I said, I have a Bible study tonight. I cannot come. He says, there's a young guy I have down here. I want you to come right now. Anyway, I go down. I went down. They put him on a bench. You see, before they put you in jail, they put you in a bench to humiliate you. And everybody passes and says, he's on the bench. So as I came, he says, he took us in another room. You know I caught this guy with? I said, no, I don't know. He said, look, I caught him with this marijuana. The policeman caught him with marijuana. All the guy, he just visited the hall, but he told the policeman, I am his pastor. So now I went down to the police station. I said, now what should I do? Should I tell the policeman? I don't know this fella. This man just come in now and then. But I could see tears in the little boy eyes. So I said to the policeman, yeah, he visits. He says, his manner, when he got into the store, when he saw me coming, I knew he had something. And I locked him up. I took him down. His mother standing up there. And his mother now, tears coming down. I tell you, I was moved with compassion. And I said to the police, I want you to give him a chance. I'll work with him. He says, if the pastor didn't come down here tonight, I'd lock you up and teach you a lesson. And in 3 days, we'd have a lockup because they could keep you for 72 hours, you see. And then after 72 hours, let somebody bail you out. So I said to the police officer, please, give him a little break, you know. I'll take him home, talk with his mother. And the police officer released him into my custody. But you see, ignorance is no excuse. I didn't know when they let a person out in your custody. You are responsible for all the actions after that. So I said to myself, after when I found out, I said, I should have leave him in jail. But be that as it may, I sat with the young man and I tell him my responsibility. And if he end up in jail, don't call for me. Don't call for me. But I say all of this to say this. When it comes to the judgment of God, we read, it shall be righteous, it shall be just, and it will be according to truth. According to truth. Saints, you will not get away with anything. Likewise, the unbeliever. Nothing at all. And God will hold us in question because we know better to walk right. And God says, is I the judge? He is the judge of the quick and the dead. And God reminds the sinner. He says, I've given all men everywhere assurance whereby I've raised them from the dead. He is the one who God is going to judge this world by, the man Christ Jesus. And let me wrap up, please. Righteousness. And I want to turn to a verse in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 10. Say ye to the righteous that it shall be well with him. For they shall eat the fruit of their doings. Woe to the wicked. It shall be ill with him, for he shall receive, for the reward of his doing shall be given him. Say to the righteous, not only in position, but righteous living, it shall be well with him. But woe to the wicked, it shall be ill with him. There's another verses in Isaiah 32, I believe it is. Isaiah 32 and verse 16. Then judgment shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. And the work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness quietness and assurance forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable habitation, and in sure dwelling, and in quiet resting place. Listen, saints, it is self-explanatory. I don't have to be no rocket scientist to say what the scripture says. There is a present effect of righteous living. Isaiah said it. And God said, in this do I delight. These things do I delight in. And as Brother Milton says, with the words of Samuel to Saul, had the Lord great delight in burnt offering? No, to obey is better than sacrifice. And to hearken, to listen than the fat of rams. This is what the Lord delight in. The burnt offering, brethren, we could drag in a lot of bullocks in here. We could say a lot of, offer up a lot of burnt offering. But if I am not obedient, God have no delight in that. None at all. What are we going to glory in? What do you have that you glory in? Well, God says, don't glory in your intelligence. Don't glory in your strength. And don't glory in your riches. But glory in the things that God has provided for us in Christ, for his name's sake. Amen.